Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Bonnie here in the Keene side, Keene, New Hampshire, where our studio is, and then also with us from Mexico City.
It's me, Mark, Mexico City.
Mark is here. He's going to probably get some extra time on the air with us over the next couple of weeks because today marks the beginning of Forkfest, and the Porcupine Freedom Festival will start on Monday. So Forkfest is the event that is the decentralized alternative to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And the Porcupine Freedom Festival is the largest libertarian event, I think, on the planet at this point. Now, that title used to belong to Anarchapulco, and I think that it has...
And Freedom Fest.
Yeah, I mean, I would call Freedom Fest more of a conservative-leaning event than a libertarian event. But I would say it was like half and half.
It's a libertarian event that they've opened up to anybody who's interested in paying the much larger entrance fee. Right? There's a difference between a convention event and a camping festival as far as costs and things like that. So... You know, it's very different, but to use the term event is broad. So I can't think of another event that I would call libertarian, besides those three that you mentioned.
Mm. Yeah, no, I mean, there's a ton of libertarian events out there. I mean, you've got one coming up in October that you're going to with the Free Cities Foundation in Prague. There's, I don't know, at least a handful of libertarian camping festivals that happen in the United States across a year. There's Jackalope Fest out in Arizona. There's, I think, Midwest Fest or something up in, you know, Wisconsin or Michigan, or maybe it moves around. I don't know. There's, of course, the Libertarian Party that has their events all over the place. They've got their own convention that they do. But that's usually, you know, I think, like 1,000 people at the National Libertarian Convention. So you don't. If you start to look at events with over 2,000 attendees, yeah, then I think you whittle it down to Anarchapulco. At least in the past, I don't know if its current iterations are reaching those levels. And then of course Freedom Fest, which I mean, I get what you're saying. I think your argument, Mark, is that the event's organizers are libertarian. And certainly not everyone who attends the Porcupine Freedom Festival is a libertarian. Certainly not. Yeah, but you have been to Freedom Fest a bunch of times. I went once in 2019 with you, right before, you know, the end of the world with COVID, and
is that the one with Trump?
No, it felt like 50-50 to me. That was the one where Glenn Beck was interviewing the gentleman Penn Jillette on stage at the end. That was like the big event. And that was back when Penn Jillette called himself a libertarian. So at least there was that. Since then, he's decided he's apparently a Democrat and a Joe Biden supporter.
Well, many people have gone to either side with these two crooked old perverts that we seem to be choosing between for president here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really sad what happened with Penn Jillette.
I mean, I can understand why somebody says, look, Joseph Stalin is running on the other side. I have to vote for Hitler, right? It's Adolf freaking Hitler. Of course I'm voting for Joe Stalin. Like, I get why they do it. It's just that, you know, I mean, you look at voting a different way, and it's a fair way to look at it. Your vote is mathematically insignificant. You might as well apply it in a way
though,
that makes you feel good.
Yeah, but the difference, though, is that he went out of his way and actually Teller along with him to make a video endorsing Joe Biden and talking about, you know, why he's not a libertarian anymore. So it wasn't
trap. There's another trap there, right? There's the influencer trap that I have to consider the lives of all of my fans out there and choose the person who's right for all of them, as if you know, right? And as if it's your business. But I could say, look, you know, my on-air presence is very important, so I've decided to endorse who's he, what's it, for this particular office, even though I personally would, you know, vote for Aaron Day or whatever.
Well, are you talking about Penn Jillette? Because he went way further than that. He was like, Joe Biden is love. Joe Biden is going to unite the country with his love and embrace.
Right. I don't know. I mean, you're it seems like you're speculating here, Mark. I don't know if you actually heard the statement that that he made. It was a very disappointing thing to hear after.
I wasn't exaggerating. Like, that's actually the type of things he was saying.
If you're going to manipulate people, you have to use over-the-top stuff, right? I mean, like.
Well, I mean, that's just sad. This is a person who used to identify as a libertarian. Now, whether he was ever the most principled libertarian or not, I think you could call that into question. But he, at the very least, was putting that brand out there in a
public... I'd be curious what he intends to do after there's 4 years of love in the office.
Yeah, that is an interesting question to see if he regrets his decision. I don't know. And he's the one libertarian or former libertarian that we were never able to book for this show.
And so, it's true. We were never able to do it. And the one time I tried to give him a business card, and he was acting like I was going to shoot him or something.
That's weird.
He was very nice when I met him in Vegas, though. So we were talking about the different Liberty events out there. Are you going to Freedom Fest this year, Mark?
No, I'm not going to. I'm just not ready to begin my real estate project in Honduras, and I want to focus on that.
I see.
Be prepared to offer people a, you know, an interesting alternative, at least for the winter.
But you're going to the one in Prague, right?
That's my intention.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that one's later on this year. That's October 14th and 15th, and that is the free
relationship there. Yeah, the relationship there is a little bit different. They, they're asking me way ahead of time, and, you know, I'm involved in the group and things like that. Whereas Freedom Fest is like, sure, come on, you know.
Oh, sorry,
we'll give you a free booth.
I thought Ian had asked you, are you going to any Freedom Fest? So I was like, yeah.
No, Freedom Fest, the one that happens used to be Vegas only, and now I think they're changing it up every other year.
They're in Memphis. They're in Memphis
this year. Okay.
Excellent job clarifying, though. Thank you, Bonnie.
Yeah, that is important. So if you want to join the show, the number here is 603-283-6160. Of course, you can bring up absolutely anything you want. In the news today, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, including apparently an alleged hack attack against the Western banking systems, which we can definitely talk about. And, of course, your calls and thoughts about whatever is on your mind. But we were just discussing the Freedom Festivals, and I think that the Porcupine Freedom Festival has taken the mantle. Like, even if you include Freedom Fest in there, which is probably a very, very large event. I mean, over 2,000 attend Freedom Fest. And, obviously, every event took a hit in the year 2020. In some cases, they couldn't even find a venue in 2020. And to Porkfest's credit, it actually continued. Porkfest was probably the only Freedom event that happened in the year 2020. So, and I would say several hundred attendees, maybe even close to 1,000 in that particular year. And then the next year, 2021, it spiked up and sold out, which was more than 2,000 tickets. The year after that, 2022, it sold out again, and they'd increased the number of tickets up to like
3,000, right?
3,000 or something like that.
And that was the only year I've been, 2021.
Right, we went up for
2022, sorry, and it was so many people. It was like a little town of libertarians.
Yeah, unfortunately, we could only go for one day last year, and this year we're going to go also for maybe one, maybe 2 days this year, because the feds are forcing me to drive up every day. They're not saying I can't go, but they're saying I just can't stay the night. I can't have a quote unquote sleepover with my friends, unquote, according to the prosecution
and
their
you're
objection.
Supposed to be allowed to do work.
Correct.
And it's definitely work.
Yeah, it's not a vacation at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It is a working event. We are there recording when I'm there, we're there recording every single day, and that's why I started the show out by saying that, you know, maybe Mark is going to be joining us a little bit more often over the next couple of weeks, because right now, you know, we've got some hosts that are going to be attending the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but they're not there as, like, full-time broadcasters. It's not their responsibility to, you know, stop the party every day so they can do a three-hour radio show. So what we're expecting to happen is we'll have some shows from Forkfest and Porkfest. We don't know how many there will be. It's possible they'll get on a roll and crank out, you know, more than one show in a row, or it may be like, you know, every 3 days we get a full show after they do an hour a day or something like that. So I don't know what to expect out of it, so we'll find out. But that's what's going to be going on over the next couple of weeks. And, of course, almost everybody from the Liberty community in New Hampshire, I mean, everybody who's not working every single day and can't, like, get away from their career is going to be at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And apparently a lot of people are already at Forkfest, which, of course, is the decentralized alternative. And that's an event that started in 2017. So this is, I believe, year number seven of the... Or was that last year? Of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Anyway.
Hey, number seven.
No, of the Forkfest.
Forkfest. Thank you. Yeah. I believe it's year number seven.
Well, yeah. I'm just glad that there'll be a lot of witnesses to Arya's shooting.
What do you mean by that?
He thinks that Maj Toure is going to shoot Arya.
Well, first of all, Maj Toure threatened to assault the person who was doing Drag Queen Story Hour in,
well,
quote unquote.
Well, then when
his
people
community.
Said, when people said there will be a million people with guns there, he said, what's that supposed to mean? I have a second draw.
Oh, okay. Well, I think maybe he was referring to that he would defend himself with a gun against a gun. I don't know if he was saying he was going to shoot the person that was doing Drag Queen Story Hour. I guess you could extrapolate shoot someone from the word assault. It technically, I suppose, would be an assault, a deadly assault in that particular case. But
if it was a... I guess what I'm thinking is that conservatives are higher on the honor spectrum, right? And if a conservative says they're going to do something, expect it.
Right? I wouldn't believe a conservative who says they're going to do anything any more than anyone else.
Yeah, like conservatives are the ones that are like, our schools are pedophiling our children, and then they continue sending their kids to public school in most
right.
of the country.
Yeah, they're full of it. I mean, they're just puffing themselves up, just like a big tough guy. I mean, I don't believe it for a moment.
Fine, if somebody threatens something, I believe them.
Okay.
And if I don't understand why the Porcupine Freedom Festival would, I mean, you know, either they had a little talking to old Maj, or they
yeah.
just don't care.
So what
and
apparently happened,
crazy.
According to the lengthy discussion we had with Dennis Pratt a couple weeks ago, if you want to catch that episode, it was a Saturday night show. It must be like a week and a half now at this point. But he explained, and I don't think this is an acceptable explanation, but you know, just to say what he said that he had a lengthy conversation with Maj on the phone, and that Maj made it clear that this was only to be considered a threat if they were forcing children to read sexual material.
Okay.
So that was...
Because I believe Arya did make some silly statement like that, too, initially.
She did, and then she walked it back in a subsequent comment saying she was going to read Tuttle Twins books or something like that.
Tuttle Twins is excellent stuff. I have, we had the whole set, I believe, at my house. We may have sent those to friends. I can't remember whether Jack still has them or not.
I think it was actually Bonnie who made that statement without walking it back. I think Bonnie said that she was going to read sexually explicit material to people's children, but of course with the parental consent.
I thought I was going to give sexual, sexual education classes to kids, but I don't really want to, and I never really wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the point. And it's not that I was lying or trolling in that case. It's just that Ian didn't get permission to go to Porkfest, so why would I, like, schedule an event?
Mm. Well, I am glad something did come about from all of this controversy because Bonnie was
the
original.
What's the something?
Arya is going to have an event. So originally it was just Bonnie who was trolling and very successfully trolling against Maj Toure and his fanatic base, who, when Tour had said that he was going to assault anyone in, quote, his community, that did a drag queen story hour. And then continued to back up his statement with further statements. Bonnie made the statement that, well, you better not come to New Hampshire's Porcupine Freedom Festival, where, of course, he is expected to be a paid speaker, because we're going to be having a ton, I believe was the term, of drag queen story hours all across Rogers Campground.
Yeah, but
and he then quote tweeted you, I believe.
Well, one thing to clarify, don't say that I said you better not come, because that's what Dennis Pratt tried to say that I said, and that it was a counter threat. And I didn't say that.
The impression that Gene doesn't really listen to what Bonnie says and just kind of takes some stuff that other people say and applies it to Bonnie.
Yeah.
I remember the court case where Ian's like, nope. There wasn't any glass in the shoes. I mean, I listened to Bonnie talk about glass in her shoes for 45 minutes in the same room as Ian.
Oh, Ian does this. I thought you were talking about Dennis Pratt. Yeah, Ian does do it. Ian does do it, too. He doesn't always listen to all the things I say.
Mm.
Just kidding.
How long have you guys been married? Not even a year?
Not all of them, but a lot of times. Anyways, Dennis Pratt was the one that did that in this case, and he said that I said, you better not come to Porkfest, but I didn't actually say that. I said, well, then you might not want to go to Porkfest. So I just want to clarify that, because Dennis Pratt tried to use that as, some people said that I should ban you, Bonnie, for counter-threatening him, and that's just absolutely ridiculous.
So anyway, that particular statement you made about doing a drag queen story hour or a ton of drag queen story hours at Porkfest went viral, essentially, and blew up. There was all kinds of response to it. But the sad part was that, like you said, you don't really want to do a drag queen story hour. You're not going to dress in drag. And you didn't really, you weren't planning the event. It wasn't really going to be an event. And I thought it really should be, because the Porcupine Freedom Festival, this would not be the first time drag queens were on the Rogers Campground for the Porcupine Freedom Festival. In fact, I recalled, and Jay Freeville backed me up on this, and he is an expert on these things, a longtime Porkfest attendee who's usually in our chat room. Over at chat.freetalklive.com. He backed me up.
Doxing him?
No, everybody knows Jay. He backed me up on this because there was one year where they had, at least one year, maybe it was more than once, but there was one year for the Buzz's Big Gay Dance Party, which already had conservatives in a tizzy years ago. At the Big Gay Dance Party, they brought in actual drag queens from Boston. We imported some drag queens. And they put on like a little drag show at the Big Gay Dance Party. Now, one could argue, well, Big Gay Dance Party was a private event. It was in a large tent, and you had to be over 18 or with your parents' permission, etc., to attend the Big Gay Dance Party. However, the drag queens did absolutely walk around the Porkfest campus. You know, they're hungry. They got to go and get some food, right? Like, so you got to go to the bathroom. There's places you got to go before you're going to go into the Big Gay Dance Party and or after the Big Gay Dance Party. So it's not like they weren't seen by other people. It's not like children didn't see drag queens at Rogers Campground. And the discussions we were having were...
Well, I think the drag queens are pretty mild compared to the guy that wore the loincloth one year, and there had been a couple of topless gals just wandering around.
Oh, they're straight-up naked people there now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Mark.
Well, I mean, do you kind of see the... Do you kind of see the issue that conservatives have here? So let me encapsulate it. Here's the statement. The statement is that any place, whether that's virtual or real, that is not explicitly hostile to the left will be taken over by it.
No, I think that's ridiculous. It's like,
okay.
Alex Weed, he called in and he said, basically, we all believe in the non-aggression principle, but would you agree that we could have higher principles? That should be the base, and then we can all have higher principles than that? And
absolutely.
I think that other people can have those, but I don't think that we need to agree on them. Like, I don't think that Alex and I need to have the same exact identical principles. As long as we agree with the non-aggression principle, I can be around him. And if he doesn't, if he's doing something I don't agree with, I can ignore it.
Right.
If he's dragging me into it, then I could be able to defend myself against him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Where the conservative view that you expressed there, Mark, comes from is the fear that If my
it's freaking normal reality.
Okay, but it's fear.
You have a website that isn't explicitly hostile to liberal ideas. You will be taken over.
That's stupid.
That's crazy. I mean, Twitter.
Welcome to Facebook, Instagram. You know, like, Twitter.
Okay, well, our site's doing fine. Social.freetalklive.com. You can go there and you can find that. That's not true.
They are explicitly hostile people.
Yeah, but not leftists.
You can hit the block button
for one thing. I could say the same exact thing about conservatives. Like, anytime I tweet, it's gone down a lot less, but whenever I made that comment to Maj Touré, it was like, anytime I tweeted, I was getting like, okay, groomer, and they also do the same thing. If I wanted to say that the same exact thing you said, I could bring up these anecdotal experiences, like, the same way you're doing, Mark, and say, well, conservatives will take over.
Telling you that
meme. Look at Facebook. I can probably get someone who says that their Facebook is overrun with conservatism. I mean, I had Facebook, it was
a hard leftist.
I'm not a hard leftist.
I had a guy just blame the economic downturn on Reaganomics 2 days ago on Facebook. So anything can happen there.
That's an anecdote. Also, I go on Twitter, like, it is absolutely overrun with conservatism. And also, the chat rooms that Ian brought up about the Free Talk Live ones. I almost feel like that the conservatives sometimes are like feds, just paid to make Free Talk Live look like a conservative land. It's so conservative in there.
Well, I think Mark is saying that is the hostility he's talking about. He's saying that keeps the liberals out being nasty.
So what's better about keeping the nasty liberals out than the nasty conservatives?
Let's not read anything into what I said. What I said was any space, whether that space is virtual or real, that is not explicitly hostile to the left will be taken over by it.
I just don't understand why you think that, but you can't understand that I could say any space that's not explicitly hostile to conservatives will be taken over by it.
Well, no, I think that any space that conservatives are hostile, right? So they can keep their own little spaces until they get banned by the companies that run them, because at some point or another they'll turn into bigots.
She's making
but
the
Twitter
same point
is,
you are.
Twitter is an example of what I'm
work
saying.
That way.
Twitter
what
was
place?
Run over by leftists, and then when what's-his-name went in there and took their ability
made it
away,
hostile.
He didn't make it explicitly hostile to leftists.
They see free
there.
Speech as explicitly hostile.
What he did was he opened up, unbanned a lot of people who were banned, and seemed to loosen the restrictions on posting.
It stopped being explicitly hostile to conservatives,
correct,
and then got ran over by them. So I'm saying the same thing you are.
When there's a list of places that go from moderate or moderate left to hard right, because the conservatives overrun it, I'd be happy to talk about that list. All I'm doing is repeating an idea that I have read on the internet that seemed to be reasonably well-backed.
Okay, Christianity.
All right, we got more coming up here in moments. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us, conservative versus liberal, on the internet. Ugh, it's Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is brushing aside a reporter's question about corruption allegations from House Republicans. A New York Post reporter asked Biden why an FBI informant file refers to him as the big guy. Biden snapped at the reporter, asking, "Why do you ask such a dumb question?" The upper Midwest is being blasted by wildfire smoke. The wildfires in Canada are bringing record levels of contamination to the air in Minnesota.
National Weather Service meteorologist Craig Kogel says the smoke creates an eerie effect.
Like sunrise and sunset, you kind of see those hazy conditions in particular, and the sun looks much more orange or reddish than normal.
Two people were injured after a shooting near the Denver Nuggets championship parade. Also, a police officer is in stable condition after being hit by a fire truck carrying some Nuggets players. Dave Collins, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here, and you can bring up what you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Bonnie, and Mark tonight. And you can join us online, of course, over freetalklive.com. I mentioned our chat room. We have a bunch of them, actually. There's an entire chat server, as a matter of fact, over at chat.freetalklive.com. It is what they call a matrix server. And that means that that you have actually the control to create your own chat room. So it's different than Discord. A lot of websites or a lot of groups are using Discord out there, people in the crypto world, the video gaming world. And we used to use Discord, but we knew it was probably not going to last forever, given that it was a centrally controlled corporation. They got all kinds of ridiculous rules. And we were
the largest libertarian chat room on Discord.
That's true. And, of course, the more people you have, the more trouble you attract. And so it wasn't long before they got rid of us. And the Matrix, of course, no one can get rid of us. We're running our own server. So as long as we want to keep doing it, we can keep doing it, which is cool. And
is anybody you want to block, you can block.
Yep,
you can have the experience correct. You choose to have, unless that experience is controlling the speech of others.
Correct. And you can even create your own room and make it a private room and invite the people that you like in there. Because if you were to create a public room, then any old troll can come in. But if you create a private room and, you know, you find somebody you like or you invite your friends on there, then no one even knows that it exists. So head over
I created Mark Edge's Freedom Kingdom on there, and people are, you know, in there. They don't do much, but they used to.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you say what the name of the room is. If they don't have the link to join, they're not going to be able to get in.
So check it out over at chat.freetalklive.com. You get the step-by-step instructions. I want to come back to the conservatives versus liberals in spaces on the internet, taking over, keeping others out. I think that's an interesting conversation to have. But also, and then we can come back around to the Freedom Festivals, which is what spawned that conversation, because ForkFest has, well, ForkFest never has an official beginning or an ending, but a lot of people were showing up today. Some people were showing up earlier this week, apparently, for it. So we can talk about all those things and more, including the Punisher being taken down as a Marvel property and other things here tonight. But let's go first to Skeeter on the line in California. Go ahead, Skeeter.
Hey, guys. In particular, hey, Bonnie.
Hi.
I just want to start by, you know, I want to apologize for the last time. I didn't want to make it seem like I didn't want to debate you. It's just that you tend to, like, steer me in a different way. And I really called in for Mark's opinion. I forgot to say it was addressed to Mark. Because he gives me straight answers, and I didn't want to get on a tangent.
This isn't really an apology, and also
you kind of went into an insult there.
You can just go ahead and ask a question.
Yeah,
or
if you've got a question
your
for
idea
Mark,
you have.
Go ahead with it.
I'm sorry, I put that a different way. Okay, so like first off, I wanted Mark to settle a quick debate we had yesterday with Bonnie. Like I just said quickly, you know, just something like, Bonnie misrepresented government. That, you know, government does protect some rights sometimes.
And I asked you for an example of that, and you said you couldn't give one. And that was the entire conversation.
Yeah, because it
sounds like typical Skeeter. You ask him to nail him down on something, and he just can't answer the question.
No. It's something self-evident, right? Like,
I think
for Mark. So I want to put this to Mark. Like, I wanted Mark to settle it, right? Is there an instance where, like, cops stop an in-progress robbery or deter crime? That's kind of protecting rights.
But
right?
Can I just say something really fast? Because
he's acting like
I said, that has never happened, ever, and I didn't say that. And in fact, I think it was Nikki that pointed out, I'm sure it's happened. Anyways, it's more incidental than anything. I mean, me and Nikki both said this kind of thing. Like,
we can have non-governmental cops. Okay.
And that's the main thing we started talking about, because he can't have that conversation. He just wants to say something, go like, gotcha, so your whole philosophy is wrong, and he can't even back up what he's saying. Like, I was like, okay, just give me an instance, and let's talk about it. Give me an instance of a time that the cops helped someone.
Well, surely there are instances of that.
I'm not saying there's not.
But you know, the fact is, the market can provide protection services far better, likely, than the government can. I thought you were a market anarchist.
Yeah, but all I said was sometimes government protects rights.
And we said, yeah,
what's
sure.
What's the point of
who
what
cares?
You're saying?
Yeah, you're obviously trying to get some kind of point across, and you're not making any kind of point. You said I misrepresented government by saying that they have never protected someone's rights, and I said, I'm sure they have. You
well,
can't give
other,
an example of it, but I'm sure they have, but it wasn't on purpose, or it was ancillary to the reason that they left the cop office to begin with.
Even if they do protect someone's rights, you have to also remember they violated that person's rights in order to, quote-unquote, protect them later on. They violated their rights by threatening them if they don't pay for the government services, whether they want them or not. So everybody is constantly being violated, having their rights violated by the state in order to get their wonderful protection services, which, of course, as we know, they have no obligation whatsoever to provide you with. They have no obligation to provide it at all.
My experience in Keene, New Hampshire is that the police did everything but say, we have withdrawn your protection because you talk to the Free Staters, to me. Like, they did everything but that. Like, they were terrible. They were terrible under a variety of circumstances. I had my car vandalized one time because it was out at Ian's house. You know, some lunatic threatened my son. They didn't want to do anything. Nope, we're not gonna do anything. You guys don't believe in police. Wait, pal. I didn't say anything like that. You're just lumping me in with other groups. Should we hold the Keene Police Department responsible for something that every cop in the nation has done? Because that's a little unfair. Should we do it for every police officer in Keene? Like, every police officer in Keene is, Sergeant Rivera or whatever he is, Sheriff Rivera, the guy that shot somebody in the back.
Skeeter, go ahead.
Yeah, so the reason why I brought that up, that government sometimes protects rights, sometimes, is because Bonnie mischaracterized government as only always violating rights. That's all. That's it.
You're still wrong.
Congratulations.
You're still wrong because it's not a mischaracterization.
They are always violating people's rights, even if, on the other hand, at some point they happened to save somebody at some point from something. Because they were funded by violation of rights.
And one of the things that happened yesterday was whenever I said, give me an example of a time it happened, and at first he's like, oh, I don't have to do that. Then he was like, okay, I'm sure there's been a time where a cop has stopped a theft. And I really don't believe that there's been a time. I sincerely don't believe that you could find a time that a cop stopped a theft in progress.
It's probably pretty rare. They come after the fact. Yeah, it's later. Usually later on.
But either way,
that's kind of the definition of it. But I have had a situation where police, where I had one of the storage units, I lost some stuff out of there, and the police, you know, caught the guy, found the stuff, and almost all of it was returned.
Sure, that's after the fact.
Yep, it is.
That's it. That's all. I wasn't making any case government's more efficient at thing, but I don't know why she challenged me on it. And
because you're wrong, and you're still wrong.
Peace.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because she's mad at you, and you've done a poor job of apologizing. You continue to call in referencing things that have occurred in the past.
Yeah.
We've
talked to him about that.
Like, nobody, there's people listening right now who have gotten in their car in Peoria, Illinois, and they're listening to the station that they listen to Sean Hannity on, or Rush Limbaugh reruns, or, you know, whatever, and they're hearing the show for the first time, and you're here referencing things that happened, you know, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, things like that, and I get that they're very relevant to you, but they're not relevant to the listener. So as coaching to anybody who calls, what we would prefer is that you talk about something in a new fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's always
something fresh.
The problems are the same problems that humans have had since they developed speech, right? But referencing things that occurred in the past, just it's stale.
Yeah. Hey, Skeeter, thanks for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Maybe he'll take you seriously, Mark, but he didn't the first time. So
if you thank him for his call, you'll just encourage him.
Well, I got a little scolding for you, Ian, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So having called into Free Talk Live a few times in the past couple of years as a caller as opposed to a person on the air, I can say that sometimes my experience as a caller has left me wishing, like, unhappy, right? And one of my thoughts is that when people have an unhappy experience, the vast majority of them won't do a thing to repeat that unhappy experience, so they won't call in again.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, we get the people who are most likely to call in after a bad experience. And I could describe those people, but it's going to sound insulting.
Sure. What do you want me to do about it?
Be nice, you little grumpy bastard, you little prickly effer.
I'm generally not mean to people that call in. I mean, unless they're hostile, they're going to get – you get back what you put into this show. So if you are a kind person who just wants to have a conversation, then that's what's going to happen. If you want to call in and call names and insult people, then you might get that back at you.
But what about just sort of being short? Like if somebody disagrees with you, they feel like they've been cut off, you know,
people feel like that all the time.
Yes, they sure do.
Yeah, they do.
And I don't know how to properly address it.
The problem is people think that they're going to have like an unlimited speech, you know, that they can just give from a podium here. They think they can have a speech without having any interruptions. And Skeeter's one of these people. He's called in within the last 2 weeks, and he just can't understand why he can't just go on and on and on without us, you know, saying something to him. And
kind of go on if you stay on one point.
Yeah, but they don't do that.
But if you deviate from the point, like I just deviated from staying on one point. I deviated to what it's like to not be on that point. And oh, that time that Bonnie interrupted Skeeter and Ian, you know, I wish you'd wear a shirt. Like if you keep on bringing up extreme things, expect them to be addressed.
Yeah, you're right, because we have to...
Taking hot shots isn't going to work.
Yeah, we have to address the things that are being said, and if five things get said in a row because the person's just allowed to just go straight blah, 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 and whatever it was they want to say without any kind of interruption or questioning, well, then, you know, we're never going to get to address all of the things that that person said in any decent amount of time. So we have to stop them down and say, whoa, 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 before you go on to this, let's address the first thing you brought up, which is this.
Sometimes you can't even win. Like, what is his name? Ricky. He called maybe like 2 weeks ago, and he was going on, and for whatever reason, I don't know if he was drunk or something, but he was like super snippy to say, but Aria was the host, and she was letting him go on about some story. I said, wait, can you tell me what, like, ask for clarification on something. Yep. I wasn't being rude anyway. It was just some personal life story. It wasn't even like that I was like trying to make an argument about my position on. I just wanted to say, wait, what's that? Like, I don't even remember what the topic was.
That's important.
You know what he did? He went, Bonnie, what do you personally have against me?
Yeah,
why are you cutting me off?
Personal. Yeah, you didn't say anything personal
against
him.
And he was allowed to go off for a very long time.
He
I was like, what? You just talked for like 2.5 minutes.
He had me the next day, because Ricky's, no, like Skeeter, one of these callers that loves to keep calling about things that happened in the past. And of course, now we're talking about things that happened in the past. But he asked me to review that call, and I agree with, I took Bonnie's side on it. And I don't always take Bonnie's side on you know, what she does on the air. You know, he was absolutely rude in how he responded. So some people just, you know, they get the wrong idea about this, and you do have to ask questions to clarify. That is the hallmark of a good listener. If someone is talking to you and you do not understand what that person is saying, you're patronizing that individual if you're just saying, and, you know, nodding your head and going along, acting like you understand, when you're just actually waiting for the first opportunity to go on and say the thing you wanted to say in response to them without ever really listening to a single word. If you have a question for that person, you should get that question out. You know, not necessarily, it doesn't have to be immediately, but sooner rather than later.
And I think
you should
that's
get it out.
Something that we're plagued with on Free Talk Live. And I'll, you know, 20 years ago when we started this radio program, I just had this unrealistic expectation that somehow we were going to have this round table of libertarian thinkers calling in, you know, we'd toss out a subject, you know, maybe, squatters' rights and, you know, any given subject. And we'd have these, you know, libertarian thinkers call in, chime in their two cents. But in fact, we get a lot of people that are really miserable communicators, and it's rough, you know. Like,
well, we are the Libertarian Roundtable. That's the thing.
I know, buddy.
Yeah, so the Libertarian Roundtable.
I just imagined Robert P. Murphy and Jeffrey Tucker and, you know, Walter Block and these people. Remember, this was 20 years ago. The radio was a really relevant thing at the time.
Yeah, you know? No, that's funny. No, I didn't think that was going to happen. I did have a moment where I thought.
We had Alex Jones call in and George W. Bush.
That's true. We did have Alex Jones call in, and we didn't set it up. We had Alex Jones as a guest that we set up once, and we were on his show, so we did kind of like a trade guest thing.
You went on Alex Jones' show?
Yeah.
We
talked about immigration with Alex Jones on
he was
on
telling
his
us about the Quaker conspiracy, Bonnie.
This is probably more than a decade ago. But Alex Jones used to call our show as a caller. Alex in Texas.
More than once.
On more than one occasion. It was like I think he called on weekends.
Well, he was right before something us, and so he would listen to his show, and then it'd lead right in.
Yeah, it was when we were on the pirate radio station in Austin, Texas,
and
that was airing us.
You know, like he'd hear something that, you know, deviated slightly from his point of view, which, you know, is just like everything else in America these days. If you deviate slightly, you are hellspawn. Everything you say is evil and wrong, and only the talking points are allowed.
By the way, we mentioned the event that Mark is going to be going to later this year. That is the Freedom Fest. You can, or not, I'm sorry, it's not
no,
called
Freedom
Fest.
Fest.
Liberty in Your Lifetime.
Free Cities, yeah.
Is that the name of it, Liberty in Your Lifetime, or the Free Cities Conference?
I think it's Liberty in Our Lifetime.
LibertyInOurLifetime.org, I think, is the website. Yeah. That's where you can go if you would like to get registered for 10% off using code FTL. It's October 14th and 15th. They're going to be having representatives from the Free Cities projects in U.S., Honduras, Germany, and Norway giving updates on progress and explaining why you should consider moving to or doing business in a free city, which is kind of this up-and-coming thing that if you get into, as Mark was saying the other night, it's pretty early, you're pretty pioneering. If you do it, it's probably not right for everybody. But definitely, if it's something that's intrigued you, this is going to be the conference to go to meet the movers and the shakers, including Mark, who will be speaking at this conference as he did last year. It's libertyinourlifetime.org. Use code FTL.
And there's been a caller that's called in a few times to kind of give me a little trouble about this, and I think I've been thinking about it. And at first, I want to say thank you. Right. Thank you for helping me to see things a little differently, because I don't think I've been doing the basics, which is, it's a real problem. I need, every time I talk about something, I need to be clear. And that, in regards to building new places that are more free than old places, first, I believe in incrementalism, not, necessarily all in one, fell swoop. I think you have to kind of try things to see, not even the greatest libertarian is going to say there should be no rules. They'll say maybe there shouldn't be a coercive government to do a thing, but they're not going to say there should be no rules. So really what I'm meaning is freedom isn't sufficient. Freedom itself isn't enough for a place to be wildly successful overnight. You know, societies have to grow. People have to kind of feel out any given system, see whether the risks are worth putting millions of dollars on the line and, their sacred treasure. And it takes, in many cases, years. And the only thing I've said is that I'm exasperated with the idea of fighting statists. And by fighting status, I mean giving them my energy, giving them my, my sacred time. I've got 30 years left on the planet. I'm 52. If I'm lucky, I live to 82. And I'm going to give that by arguing with status. I'm sick of that. All I want to do is stop arguing and build things. And so, maybe these things will be wildly successful. Maybe they'll fail miserably. But I'm never going to lie about it. I'm only going to say what's true at any given time. So that's what my commitment is to my listeners, is that I will assess a situation, given a question, I will answer it as clearly as possible.
Fair enough.
Is this because of the caller that accused you of sounding like a swindler?
I know. I can't help that. If the guy thinks that because I talk fast, I sound like a swindler. What am I going to do about that? I'm a broadcaster. This is the way I talk. I don't know what to say about that. You sound like a swindler is certainly a way to is a way to undermine what somebody says. But I guess what I should say is, man, that's a hurtful statement. Nice. If that was a jab, excellent work, sir, because you found the thing that I value the most.
Yeah, it
really is. Yeah. I am, I went from a person who would exaggerate the truth to a person who refuses to as best he can, because nobody's 100% honest, because nobody's 100% right.
Well, just in your defense, Mark, I don't think you said anything swindle sounding that night. It was just hilarious, and that's why I just kept laughing. And the other thing is, he didn't give any examples of why he sounded swindlier.
No. Swindler-y. I don't think he was the greatest argument. He was the greatest arguer, but that doesn't mean that he didn't have a great call, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is that we, to some extent, my job is to sit up in that, behind that cage and call out, people who are walking by to get them to spend money to throw baseballs at me, right? And that guy...
fun, crazy job, that guy at the county fair. It's always
hey, what are you
fun.
Doing, big ears? Huh? Did your mom dress you tonight?
And the funny thing is about that guy, and Captain Kickass, if he were here tonight, he could talk about that, because he actually did work as a carny for some time in the South, and so he knew that guy. That guy was at that at that carnival, and that guy's using the same insults all day long, but he's just so good at it. Just so practiced, and just picks on anything about anybody. Doesn't care if you're fat, doesn't care if you're skinny, doesn't care, whatever,
he'll find something.
Yeah,
nice shirt, Margaret. Whatever. You talking to me?
Yeah. I used to just really enjoy just standing there and just enjoying him just
so
heckling
people. I can't
people.
Let this go. Now that we're talking about the guy, because I know that you like him, I like him. I remember going to the fair in the Manatee County Fairgrounds in, like, 1985 and being shocked and appalled at the racial slurs that this guy was using. Like, and it's not as though Manatee County in 1985 was a place without racial slurs at all, but the idea that you could sort of amplify it and, you know,
not get shut down.
Yeah. But not get shut down, because and boy, did he have a lot of young black men throwing baseballs at him. I mean, like, he was doing his job.
Wow.
You know, like, just some things that were scalding. I'm like, man, this guy's going to get his butt beat getting out of that cage. But he's like, what is that, a mango you got there? And then I throw it at him. You know, like, God.
I've never experienced this. That sounds funny.
Really?
Yeah, never.
The world is a different place now.
Yeah, and that's...
Like, I'm just trying to...
Like when you said calling someone fat, I was just thinking, I don't even think you could do that now. Just call someone fat to try to get them to throw a baseball at you. I think that they'd go directly to the manager and be like, I'm not fat. All food is good food.
Right.
And all bodies are good, and I demand $1 million.
Yeah, no, you're right, Bonnie. I mean, things are definitely
different. I cannot even imagine what it's like. I did that job for the kids at Pork Fest. Now, it didn't include throwing insults or anything like that, but, you know, it was
all the unfun parts of getting frozen to death in the freezing, near to freezing water that comes out of the ground.
And
in
the guy
Northern
who
New Hampshire.
Owned the thing, every time a kid would throw a baseball, he'd hit the target and dunk me.
Oh yeah, oh, brutal. Yeah, I got out.
Miserable.
I did that once.
The kid worked for it.
I did that once and got out. I was like, screw this. I'm not going to do this.
I was Sharon Osborne, who was running it at the time. She's like, I am so sorry.
Wow.
But the guy, you know, wanted the kids to get their money's worth, and I'm kind of still even torn on the situation. I just don't think that. I felt like it was too much like a participation.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. It's like giving kids false hope that they're good at something.
Yeah.
We're talking about the various festivals.
I'd say let them get a little closer to throw, like, you know, by age.
Yeah, sure.
They can have different lines by age to throw the ball.
Yeah, like pinatas. You bring it right in front of the 2-year-old so they can hit it, and then you make it harder for the 10-year-old.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. A 10-year-old boy with a freaking broomstick will whip a leg off of a pinata donkey.
I want to come back to the controversy we were discussing before with the conservatives taking over versus liberals taking over certain spaces if there's no opposition, etc. The number here is 603-283-6160 if you want to join the show. Then, coming up, major hacker groups have announced a plan to cripple the Western financial system within 48 hours, and it may have already begun. It's Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.